numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and DK Network, of course. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland live from Bar Canada at the D. It's happening. You good?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good. We got some big winners in the casino this morning. Partying it up, living it up.
There.
It's good, man.
As long as it's over there. It's creeping a little closer, if you know what I mean. On the show today, Will Hill with all his baseball plays of the day. College football, week three in the National Football League. Nothing but picks and thoughts from young Will. We'll talk to him momentarily. Megapod star Will Hill. Bear Bets podcast at Fox, Will Hill. Mike Pritchard on his alma mater, Colorado. Always a fascinating topic. Maybe our last week to talk about them as an undefeated, but still.
Don't say that. Come on. Yeah. When's the Wednesday Pritch spot has quickly become like my favorite guest spot here over the past few weeks.
We walked right into that.
Yeah, we really did.
A Colorado alum. Eric Eager will talk NFL with us from Sumer Sports. And Joe Pita will join us. Joe Pita, the author of Moneyball for the Money Set. Joe wants to tell us a story today. Is that allowed? Can you just tell us a story?
Oh, he did. He kind of told me some of it yesterday.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know anything about it. Is it worth it? Is it good?
It's pretty good.
Okay. He wants to talk Survivor also.
Pretty good.
We'll do that with Joe. First, we have some other things planned, too. We had NFL awards coming up, comeback player of the year. We want to talk MVP, offensive rookie of the year. We're going to talk all that. We had a whole baseball seating segment planned for this morning as well. And I think the show before us took away some of our thunder. I think they stumbled into a bet that we had planned this morning. So we'll get into that. I first want to talk about NL Cy Young one last time. And the reason I want to talk about it one last time is because Mark Borchardt came on our air yesterday and was still like, no, Spencer Strider is still the NL Cy Young. Now, I had NL Cy Young tickets on Strider. We waved the white flag now two starts ago here, but Borchardt was still all about it. And I just want to point out that last night, while Spencer Strider was five innings deep into his start against the Philadelphia Phillies, he had pitched five innings of scoreless one-hit ball, and his ERA started to come down, and it was like almost below 3.60. And we had some people on Twitter, I had some text, people like, I can't resist anymore, Strider 60-1. And I'm like, well, I guess I can't blame you, but there's a Snell start coming up momentarily. And Blake Snell pitches seven no-hit innings against the Colorado Rockies, which was just brand-on-brand Blake Snell, where he walked some, wiggled out of it. He's had games where he's walked more and wiggled out more. But Blake Snell now minus 1,400. It's over. It's all over. It was already over last start, too. Like, so here's the thing, and this is a general sports betting conversation about using analytics in baseball to win sports bets. And we touched on it a little with Jason yesterday. But for over a decade doing this show, doing the Beating the Book podcast, Betting Dork before that, if you've been with us long enough, you know we've won a plethora of baseball bets using analytics to get ahead of the curve on quote-unquote baseball card stats. The thing about them is they have to manifest. And in 2023, the year where everything well-conceived goes to die, it never manifested for Spencer Strider. And he kept imploding every three or four starts, it seemed. And so you can't win a Cy Young. Now, by the way, in the sixth inning last night, he ends up giving up a three-run jack to Bryce Harper. The ERA shoots right back to 3.73. I don't care in the end how great your advanced stats are if there's no longer a runway for them to manifest. It was one thing to talk about him four starts ago.
Right.
It ain't happening because the advanced stats that you get ahead of have to manifest. And Blake Snell, on the other hand, instead of just sort of being okay the rest of the way, overcame the Astros, overcame the Dodgers. And then last night, no hitting the Rockies for seven. It is over. Now, of course, it is humans betting on awards. Who knows? You can't say 100%, right? You can say 98.8%. But I just want to now bets aside, I just want to have a nerd ball conversation about Blake Snell's season.
Yeah, yeah. Can I jump in,
please,
real quick?
Yes.
Because I want to say, I think you, Mark, Jason, Adam Burke, we've had plenty on the plenty on this show to have this conversation, obviously, for the past, what, month and a half, couple months. I think you guys have done a great job of breaking down, hey, why you're betting Strider and those advanced analytics.
I hope so.
And same thing with Blake Snell, right? Because there was some regression you expected never got there, right?
That's exactly right. This is the Blake Snell part of it. So Blake Snell, we're not making it up. Now, bets aside, wave the white flag, tip of the cap, Blake Snell wins the NL Cy Young. So now, please don't think this has anything to do with that. This is just marveling at Blake Snell's season. Not enough is being made of. I touched on this in the last couple weeks. But now it is to the extreme where this might be, Kelly, the most anomalous full season of starting pitching by anyone ever. Blake Snell ends up, or is going to end up, barring some implosion here in the next start, with the lowest ERA in all of baseball, which he currently has, 2.33 now after last night, 2.33 ERA, which is 0.40 better than the next guy, Justin Steele. So he's got the lowest ERA and he's got the highest walk rate, 13.5%. The last time someone finished a full season with the requisite number of innings with the lowest ERA and the highest walk rate was 1913. Hasn't happened since 1913. That's 110 years. I've done the math. Why was he able to overcome that? And by the way, the difference between his ERA and his WHIP is the difference between his ERA and his WHIP is the I don't know that I'd have to do a research project on this year after year, but it is about the closest you could ever imagine those two numbers ever being. His ERA is 2.33, his WHIP is 1.20. If you have a 2.33 ERA, your WHIP ought to be about 0.89.
Right.
But because he walks so many batters is that. Now, the other thing about him is, you know, it's been insane. In his last, I don't know how many starts it's been. I mean, it's just a 1.26 ERA over his last 22 starts. So
that's insane.
That's Gibson-esque, right? Like, that's incredible. But let's get back to the anomalous part of how amazing this season is. So the WHIP and ERA are probably as close as they've ever been. The low ERA and the high walk rate has never happened where you're best in ERA and worst in walk rate since 1913. And so what has caused that? It's the strand rate. His strand rate this year is 86.2%. Again, by historical perspective, the record for that, John Candelaria of the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1977, 88.8%. Again, Snell's is 86.2%. So this is just the most incredible year-long sustaining of this kind of performance. And so you ask yourself, as a baseball handicapper, is it just this unbelievable random thing that he's been able to sustain over a year's time? In fact, you know, I've talked about many times in history, Matt Cain sustained this low BABIP, batting average on balls in play, for a two-year period that was like in the 2.3s, which is just incredible. Is there something Matt Cain's doing that allows for that to happen? Well, I think that's more random because it's contact from the batter, so you really don't have control over that. Some would argue otherwise. In this case, and then there's been other things like over the time that we've exploited. So like the year that Cliff Lee played for the Texas Rangers, pitched for the Texas Rangers, he had this unbelievable K to walk ratio. And he almost, and I remember exploiting that, betting against Cliff Lee in certain games late in the season, because he almost became enamored by that. And he would groove pitches so as not to walk guys. That rate going. With Blake Snell, you have to ask yourself, is this some anomaly or is he just, or is there something to this? And I have to tell you, I think there might be something to this. So the analytical person, the analytics guy would say, or gal would say, no, you just can't sustain that. It's just this random thing. I think Blake Snell, and if you do a more deep dive analysis on who Blake Snell has walked and who he hasn't, and I did a little of this, Blake Snell seems to have hacked all of these metrics by figuring out who to walk and who not to walk. And if you think that that is random, I would argue that, you know, because like some people, they say, well, maybe he's just effectively wild. I think his control, or maybe even specifically his command, is so good that he knows exactly who in the opponent's lineup can hurt him and who can't, which is what every pitcher is supposed to know. But Snell's concentration and accuracy is so pinpoint this year that he can really determine, you know what, this guy has a chance to beat me. I'm walking him. Like, he's made this conscious decision. And so as a result, looking at his Fangraphs page, it's this anomalous thing that he seems to have hacked. That's just my working theory on it. But tip of the cap to him for doing this over the course of an entire year, because Blake Snell is your runaway Cy Young guy. Now, you get all that?
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah. I was also interested in, like, the first righties versus lefties splits. You know what I mean? Like, if that comes into play with it a little bit.
What I'm saying is a grandiose walk rate doesn't capture who he's walking and who he's not.
Right.
And if you go into his games, he seems to have figured out the right people to walk and the right people not to walk in just this consistent pattern, which has led him to this. And by the way, now cut to a shot of us in November, and now for NL Cy Young, Justin Steele. No, I mean, he really does deserve it, Blake Snell. And congratulations to everybody who had Blake Snell in the end. And again, that's the last time we'll talk about it until November. But because Borchardt was so passionate about his, you know, sticking to the Spencer Strider thing yesterday, I thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah, Mark and Jason brought it up too, right?
Jason was of my thinking. Jason's like, no, I mean, they do have it. The reason we bet how we bet in baseball with analytics is to get ahead of what we believe absolutely has to manifest. Mm-hmm. Like, this can't go on, right?
Yeah.
But in this case, it's lasted for a year.
The other thing I'll bring up real quick is, if you are trying to bet this part, DraftKings is about the longest you're going to find Blake Snell. I think I saw minus 2,000, minus 3,000 at different shops earlier this morning. So
DraftKings is the shortest on Blake Snell. At minus 1,400. Again, it's human beings. So we do want to throw in that one caveat at the end, right before we move on. That is human beings voting on awards. And like I said, some people might be like, well, no, Justin Steele, because he had the most impact on his team getting into the playoffs, whereas Blake Snell and the Padres aren't out of it yet. But Blake Snell didn't, let's say, with the Padres, and Spencer Strider didn't have any effect on the Braves getting to the postseason ultimately. So who knows what these people are thinking. We'll get into our pre-planned seedings conversation. We'll look at all the tiebreakers in Major League Baseball, all the way through to the World Series. Who would get the World Series tiebreaker? We'll do that. Next, though, NFL Awards. Pardon me. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you this football season and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now and save 10% off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you use promo code ANG. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Remember to use code promo, or I should say promo code. What just happened right there? Did I just have a medical event? ANG, a numbers game. I became my mom.
What have we decided to? We've got a couple possible prizes for. You got to hit that ANG promo code. You might get video of the exclusive Matt Brown kicking a field goal.
First of all, remember to use promo code ANG. That'll save you 10% off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. All the details, sign up, I should say, at VSiN.com/subscribe. Jack Larkin just texted about that, Kelly. He said, or tweeted, pardon me, about that. He just said, do we all have our alarm set for Friday's Matt Brown field goal kicking? Is it happening?
Okay. Jack, I'm glad you tweeted about this. I'm glad I'm given a moment to discuss this as the commissioner or organizer of this event. I'll bring everybody up to speed, okay?
Oh, God.
We've waited this long, Gil, okay? I think everybody can understand that I'm not doing this. We're not doing this without it getting on video, okay?
Correct.
So I am organizing the production team, if you will, okay, of a person or people that will be out there for this kick. I've pretty much got that set. Location is the next thing because, you know, you can't just go anywhere.
There are goalposts everywhere.
Exactly. So, unfortunately, I don't think this Friday is going to happen. I think we're going to have to push back to next Friday, but the wheels are finally in motion is the point.
Okay.
It's finally in motion.
And you got your spray tan set up.
Yeah, that's on Matt. I don't know. I'm organizing his field goal. He's got to organize my tan, okay?
And last thing on this, then. Are you using this as an incentive for people to put in ANG? Is that what you were suggesting?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So you're holding back the video until they put in ANG? Is that what's going on?
Glad to see. Yeah.
Is that what's happening?
Man, we got a shot already. Who knows?
So yesterday on the show, we did we gave passionate analysis on last team to remain undefeated. The conclusion was, you know, my conclusion was San Francisco ought to be the short shot. I think they were close to being the short shot, if not just second by a hair. And that New Orleans of all teams, who I don't even think is really all that good, really was the best value as a long shot. And as far as the last winless team, Arizona absolutely should be the short shot. But we gave a passionate speech. I did, because I already have this preflop of Carolina being the best value play. And you could have got it yesterday during this show at about the same number I got at preflop. I got it just shy of 16-1. It was available at 14-1. It is down to 10-1 after our dissertation yesterday, Kelly.
Makes sense.
On that one. So we'll see.
That number still might be a little long.
It still might be. But again, think about what we're saying. Arizona still deserves to be, yeah, right? But then it's Carolina, because Carolina really could be Ofer through their bye coming up in several weeks. All right, so today we wanted to talk about MVP. We want to talk about Offensive Rookie of the Year. Did you have a preflop bet on? Not a preflop, actually after week one bet. And then we also want to talk about Comeback Player of the Year, because DeMar ain't played yet. So let's talk Most Valuable Player, MVP, Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa is the short shot now at 6-1. Tagovailoa is right now leads the NFL in yards passing, but not by any significant margin, it should be pointed out, Kelly. I believe it's only a 7-yard lead over Kirk Cousins,
yep,
for that statistic. But Tagovailoa is your short shot. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, the Huge, your usual suspects at 7-1, then Jalen Hurts at +850. Everybody else, double digits, beginning with Lamar Jackson, who has fallen to 12-1. I will give you one that, and man, I don't want to take away Will Hill's steam. Maybe I'll ask him about this later. But he was asking yesterday offline, is there value on Brock Purdy at 22-1? Now, Brock Purdy statistically, at least to this point, and one would project forward, might not knock your socks off.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's the quarterback of a football team that ends up, I don't know, let's go 14-3 or 15-2. Let's just be conservative,
yeah,
about that, if that sounds conservative. Because who knows? I don't want to say 17-0, in other words. They could be less than that. But let's just say 14-3. Is there a path for a Brock Purdy in a year where, let's just look at the landscape through two games. Mahomes is Mahomes. Maybe there's betting fatigue. Obviously, his offense hasn't been as good so far through two games.
Still getting it together.
Josh Allen looked terrible in week one. Looked great in week two. Jalen Hurts, the Eagles look not to be quite as good as they were last year. Only through two games, I get it. Miami, sure. And then there's obviously the Tua caveats, which you hate. If he stays healthy, we all know about the Dolphins, which is, can we really trust them to be all that good in the end? Maybe you can, maybe you can't. The point being that everyone, Joe Burrow, hurt. We don't even know if he's playing this week.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert, sure, great. He hasn't done anything wrong, but they're 0-2 in Los Angeles. Deshaun looks diminished. In a year where no one else thus far seems to have stood out, besides maybe Tua, is Brock Purdy a good bet at 22-1?
I don't hate it. This goes without saying. Of course, I think I'd want it a little bit longer.
Sure.
But I think there's a path. To answer your original question, is there a path? Yes. If they end up 14-3 and the number one team in the NFC, and this dude keeps winning like that, and we're going to sit there at the end of the day and say, over a year and a half span of him playing football, he's lost three games and won, what would he have won at that point, 20 or something like that? I mean, that's an incredible start to a career. We keep hearing, we keep racking up the wins of how he started as a starter. Yes, I think that's going to be in the mainstream media over and over and over again. And, yeah, I absolutely think there's something there. You know, I've brought it up just like I've brought up with Tua. Like, the guy doesn't get enough credit. We always want to pick out what he does wrong. And sure, yeah, he missed a lot of big throws last week.
Yeah.
But, like, if he keeps winning, you can't deny him that.
We'll continue this with Will and get his thoughts on Brock Purdy. But I just want to say that this has become, over the last 4 years, a de facto quarterback award. And I don't want to get locked into that. Like, I think we have to consider that this might go the other way at some point. Christian McCaffrey is 55-1. Christian McCaffrey's 55-1, obviously through 2 weeks, leads the NFL in rushing yards. He has 268. Bijan Robinson at 180 is next best. And then receiving yards. Remember, I have a Tyreek Hill to win the MVP bet at 75-1. Tyreek Hill, who says he wants to get to 2,000. But Justin Jefferson has more receiving yards through 2 weeks than he does. Justin Jefferson has 309. Puka Nacua has 266. And then Tyreek, after a week where he didn't do much, has 255. Do you think there is a viable bet on either Christian McCaffrey, who's north of 50-1, or either of those receivers, Jefferson or Tyreek? We'll leave Puka Nacua for the offensive rookie of the year discussion.
I think it's a great question. As of right now, I think, yes, you could make a case that there's a viable bet. I'll even throw one more in there.
Who?
How about a defensive player?
How
about a Micah Parsons if he keeps going like he's going?
Yeah, I think that's a little more of a stretch, but I think the main thing I want to get across about MVP is I think thinking about in a year where it looks like some of the usual suspects aren't going to necessarily have the seasons we expected of them for varying reasons that we just went
through. Which is why we didn't bet it preseason.
We didn't bet it
preseason. Because there was like four names at the top that we thought deserved to be at the top.
But it's why I have a Tyreek bet. I don't know that I won't add a Christian McCaffrey bet at some point, too. Like, I think this is the year where it might happen for a non-quarterback. Offensive rookie of the year, I have the Puka.
It's a lot more live right now.
Yes.
Like, right now where we stand, it is way more live than it was 3 weeks ago, and it might be way more live than it was 3 weeks from now.
I think it's a thing this year. Offensive rookie of the year, I have a Puka Nacua bet at 25-1. I did that after week one. Do you know what he was for the month leading up to the regular season? From like mid-August to September 7th.
200-1.
You know what he was right back here at Circa?
What?
Puka Nacua for Offensive Rookie of the Year was 500-1.
Oh, my gosh.
500-1. So I'm not even saying, hey, look at my 25-1, because trust me, it was 30-1, and before I could even press the button, it was 25-1.
Right.
So I'm not even saying that with any sort of pride. He's 8-1 now. He's the third shot. Bijan is plus 175, and Anthony Richardson, concussed, plus 225. Anthony Richardson still feels like the guy here because he's the quarterback.
I think so. Yes.
But I will just say this. If Puka Nacua continues to get 10 to 15 targets a week and catches 8 to 10 passes a week, let's just say, I don't know how you keep it out of his... I don't know how you don't vote for him.
No, I get it.
It's too much volume.
I think this goes back to a kind of like to a conversation, right? Because we're seeing it with Anthony Richardson, and he's going to be a guy who runs the ball a whole lot more than what Tua is going to run. But okay, so, you know, in concussion, dealing with the concussion right now this week, if he can stay on the field, I think he's the guy to beat. No matter what the odds dictate right now, I think he's the guy to be.
Because he's the quarterback,
yeah.
Right?
And he's not going to get pulled off the field ever.
Right.
It's his rookie year. The Colts know they have to grow with this guy. They're going to keep letting him play and keep letting him play his way.
What about Stroud? Besides Tua, Kirk Cousins, and Matthew Stafford, Stroud with the most passing yards through 2 weeks in the NFL, number four.
Yeah.
Stroud is 13-1.
And he's going to keep slinging it around. I don't hate that bet. It just feels like... I don't believe the Texans are going to win enough games for him to really win this award. And I don't know how much that matters, but I think it matters a little bit. I don't think you can have two wins and win this award.
I like
as
my Puka bet, my Nacua bet, but the quarterbacks ought to still be where you're looking here. By the way, Zay Flowers is 13-1. He's outstanding. He just doesn't have the numbers. But boy, is he great. We'll do Comeback Player of the Year. And Will Hill joins us with all his picks. Baseball, college football, pro football. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the D. Looking to be a better? Of course you are. And tens of thousands of people have already turned to Juice Reel. That's Juice, R-E-E-L, in the App Store. Juice Reel is not a sports book. It's a tool to help you beat the books. Juice Reel connects all of your sports betting accounts into one app, loads all of your betting history, and gives you an analytical edge backed by nearly $1 billion in bets from sports bettors in all 50 states. Use that data to follow the winners and fade the losers. Don't place another bet until you've downloaded this revolutionary sports betting tool, Juice Reel. That's juice like orange juice. Reel, R-E-E-L. It's absolutely free. Download Juice Reel to your iPhone or Android device today and become a better. I understand why they have to spell reel for everybody.
Fishing reel.
Why do they have to clarify juice, Kelly? Is there any reason they might have to do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, just in my head. I'll let you decide what I'm thinking. Can't be any more amusing to me. All right, Comeback Player of the Year. This was, as we said, DeMar Hamlin's to lose because, for God's sakes, he almost died on the football field. But we did say he's got to at least appear. And then you added he's got to knock down one pass. He's got to make one play.
I think he's got to make a play.
He's got to make a play. Can't just show up, got to make a play. I said he just got to show up. Well, DeMar hasn't been active yet. So he's minus 115 now. Tua's plus 275. Tua going to win all these awards now? Is that what's happening? He's going to win MVP. He's going to win comeback. He's going to win all these. Offensive player of the year. Tua's plus 275. Everybody else is 14-1 or longer, beginning with the parlay comeback of Calvin Ridley at 14-1. So is this the time to bet DeMar? We touched on this yesterday. You got to kind of bet DeMar right now, don't you? Minus 115?
Yeah, I think so. I think, I mean, you got to, you know, we got the tweet yesterday where you got to monitor Micah Hyde's status here, because that is definitely going to be an indicator, because I probably wouldn't want to bet him at this point until I know, like, you know, if a Micah Hyde's out, right, and there's a much better chance he's going to get on the field.
Right.
Like, if you know Micah Hyde right now, questionable with a hamstring for Sunday.
Do you believe there's a scenario? Let me just cut to the chase. Do you believe there's a scenario where he remains inactive for the entire football season?
I mean, I think there is. That's where, like, I mean, I think it would be very tough for that to happen. But, yes, I think there is a path that does occur. But again, this is Micah Hyde. Like, if he goes this week, don't bet it this week. Wait, right? Like, I'm waiting at least. But if Micah Hyde's out this week, then you bet it.
This is treading into speculative waters. But do you think there's a scenario where DeMar Hamlin, like the Bills internally, they never admit this publicly, but they're like, well, I don't know. I don't know if we want him playing, but yet the PR of, you know, cutting him, right? I mean, could that be at play?
Well,
we don't know.
I think there's absolutely something of that could be at play, but there's also,
we'll never know.
You also got to think of, like, hey, if it's blowout scenarios down the line, right? Or the Bills lock stuff up, like he gets into a starting role one day, maybe, because Mike Hyde's still got a sore hammy or something at some point. Sure. I think there's a lot of things
He's much more likely to play than he isn't.
Right, correct, yes. Than the average guy, right?
Well, I don't know about the average guy, but if you're hanging around, eventually injuries will happen on a team and you'll get to play. And so at that point, I still think minus 115 is the bet there on DeMar Hamlin. But yes, Micah Hyde's status matters this week. Let's talk to Will Hill. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. That's with two E's on the V. He is one of the co-stars of the Megapod, the Beating the Book Megapod, which we'll have the Week 3 Megapod tomorrow. And of course, the Bear Bets Pods on Fox Sports, Chris Felica's two podcasts, both pro football and college football. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, Will?
Yelly, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing very well. Just for clarification's sake, because I know you always come out here and you talk Gold Boys Network, and we said yesterday, hey, it's the Gold Boys people who hit this 200-1 bet on everybody kicking a field goal in the daytime windows of football on Sunday. Were you part of it or not? Were you in on it?
Next question, please. No, I was not. I get the notifications. I saw that JD, who posted it, gave out a 200-1 play, and I think I was out. My kid had a baseball game, and I didn't check. Usually it's like a touchdown parlay. He likes to put out these touchdown score parlays, and, you know, I seem to be the bad luck with it sometimes. So it's not that I didn't bet it for any given reason. I just didn't really see the bet. I got the notification, but didn't, think to follow through. If I had seen that one, I that sounds like a good number. I mean, I don't, and obviously it came through, so it probably shouldn't have been 200-1. And that's the whole idea of this thing, is you get somebody 200-1 that shouldn't have been. That sounds like something that, man, seems possible. Like, most teams do kick a field goal in most games, so certainly a missed opportunity, but happy for everyone that was able to cash.
Super happy for everybody. Yeah, it gets to the whole psychological thing. The gambling psychology is like a reflection of the human condition. To me, it is always harder to not participate in a bet that you might have that won versus actually just losing a bet. I know that's completely counter to your account status, but there's something psychological about that just messes with you. You would agree,
Will? There's closure with a loss. Yes. There's closure. You bet it, you lost, there's closure. There's the what if where you don't bet something. There's always the what ifs. What ifs is a tough way to live your life. So you just got to, you know, you move on. There's plenty of ones. Like, I talked to him yesterday. He's like, look, there's plenty of ones that you didn't bet that didn't hit. So, I mean, it doesn't add up to 200-1, but you just, you gotta just
move on. Sorry. Doesn't add up to six figures in your bank account necessarily on one bet, but okay.
Yeah, I knew when you shared the story with me, and I read the Gold Boys part of it, and there was no inclusion from you about Will. I was like, I should probably not text Will about this. I don't think he's going to be very happy.
I brought up your Brock Purdy thing, Will, in the previous segment. We were talking about NFL MVP, and we did actually get one tweet from somebody, from Drew. This is from Drew from Boise, Idaho. He says, I got Brock Purdy at 45-1 offshore before the season started on exactly the narrative you described. Your narrative and your thought about a Brock Purdy MVP play is what, in your words?
There's a bunch of things. First of all, I mean, there's a very real possibility that San Francisco team wins 13, 14 games. Is it impossible they go like 15-2 with that roster if they stay healthy? I don't think it's impossible. So you can't discount a quarterback that's going to be on, let's just say they're a 14-3 team. And he's a quarterback and he stays healthy. He's going to be a candidate. That's just how the nature of the award. And I could start to poke holes in the rest of the field where Mahomes, yeah, maybe there's some voter fatigue. He's got diminished weapons. Josh Allen already has a 4-turnover game on primetime. Herbert's 0-2. Burrow's hurt. Lamar and Tua are injury prone. So, look, he's not going to have the gaudy stats. But like you said, there's a narrative there with the fact that he's the last pick in the draft. I mean, I just think he's a good player. I think we're past the point where this is a good story, and he's just a good player. And he's got every offensive weapon under the sun with Kittle and Debo and McCaffrey. It's a good weather situation where he's got a good offensive coach, so he can put up the, he's not going to put up the gaudy stats, but if he can keep the interceptions clean and keep the loss column clean, I think, you know, a 14-win quarterback is going to be in the mix here. So at 22-1, I do think it's worth a shot. And I think, yeah, that's the best number.
I think this is the year. I wish someone would put up a prop. Quarterback wins this award, non-quarterback. And I wonder what the non-quarterback price would be, because this might be the year where it goes back to that.
I just don't know if we can get there. And I keep citing this, that, you know, Aaron Schatz, who you've had on, and I had him on when I had my podcast. He's just like, I can't. And he's a voter. He said, I can't see myself ever voting for a non-quarterback. And he's a voter, and there's only 50 voters. And the word valuable being in the award, like the most valuable player is still whoever is the best quarterback. So
think about that.
I can't get there yet. I still can't get there.
That's the exact opposite of what we just talked about with Blake Snell versus an advanced stats guy like Spencer Strider, right? Where the advanced stats football guy is like, no, quarterback is just so much more valuable than any other position. I can't possibly break out of that no matter what's in front of him. So, again, when it comes to human beings betting, it's always in some ways a crapshoot. Okay, what about week 3 in the NFL then? What did you land on this week?
I don't have a lot of sides. I don't know if this is becoming a new thing for me. I don't bet as many sides. I'm more of a teaser guy, and it's funny because we're in the content business, and I think teasers are good for betting, but they're just so bad for content because they're so boring because it's so basic. It's like team is favored, but they're a 2.5-point underdog. Hey, you tease them up through the 3, through the 7. It takes 3 seconds to explain, to discuss. There's not a lot to digest, but I just think so many of these games are so close that teasers are the best way to go. And it's the opposite with sides, where sides are good for content. People want to hear, you know, do you like this team or that team? But for betting, man, you've said it, and I don't know that people, you know, really appreciate, you know, how smart of a point it is. It's such plinko with these sides. That being said, I haven't bet it yet. I'm tempted to bet to lay the 10 with San Francisco. And, you know, I think you mentioned, hey, you don't get rich laying 10 in the NFL. But boy, I will say this, if it ever gets to 9.5, I'll definitely lay it with San Fran. I don't think that's a good matchup for the Giants with that offensive line. Their only weapon is Barkley. I just think San Francisco gets a lead and they tee off and they win that game going away. That's a tough spot for the Giants 2 weeks in a row, West Coast. I know they stayed on the West Coast, but I mean, you have to use a lot of energy coming back against Arizona. And I think San Fran wins that game going away. I know I'm not supposed to call him San Fran, but that's one I would look towards laying here with the 49ers. And I think the Lions at 3 is cheap. I think, you know, they had some bad turnover luck last week. I think the pendulum has swung too much where they shouldn't have been favored by 6 over Seattle. But I haven't been impressed with Ritter to the point where this is almost a coin flip game or so on the road. So I'm tempted to lay it with the Lions.
Yeah, I don't get that either. Yes, first way to tell you're not from San Francisco, Kelly, say San Fran.
San Fran. But is Brian Daboll calling plays? Have you seen like the videos of this?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Will, hang with us because I want to, for giggles.
Sure.
We want to get your teaser. We want to get your baseball plays. We want to get your college football thoughts. Will Hill, at not the Will Hill, with all the things he does. Bear Bets podcast, Megapod, more with Will on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5, get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw five down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code Vegas. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, with code Vegas. That's code Vegas. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada. Look at that. See, it says it right there, Kelly. Bar Canada at the D. Numbers Game right here at the Sports Betting Network. VSiN, Will Hill joins us once again. Kind enough to stick with us for two segments. For giggles, before we move on, you said you did like a teaser. What do you like teaser-wise, Will?
Yeah, Ravens are -8. I'll tease them down to 2, and I'll pair that with the Steelers +8.5 going up from the 2.5 against the Raiders. So Ravens -2, Steelers +8.5. Steelers are just a good – it looks like it's going to be a good teaser leg despite week one where they're not very good on offense. They're good on defense. Steelers, Raiders, I don't see anyone really pulling away in that game, so I'll take the 8.5. And I would expect Baltimore. I know they're beat up a little bit here, but look, if you beat me, you beat me. I'll tease that down from 8 to 2. At home against the Colts in a game they should win here. So Ravens, Steelers, two-team teaser. And I did play some season win totals. Like, I do think there's value. I don't know that they're these markets, these lines are as sharp, especially as sides, where I added more to under 3.5 on Cardinals wins. Now, you could say, hey, they've played better than you expected. They're 2-0 against the spread. They could pretty easily be 2-0 straight up, which is just incredible. But like you always say, those losses are banked now.
Yes.
And that's two games that were winnable that are off the board. And now it gets real because it's Cowboys, it's 49ers, it's, I think, at the Bengals, Ravens, Browns. I mean, it gets really difficult here on out. And I feel like it's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy where the more you lose, the more you're going to lose, where it's like, all right, you know, we'll sit out Buda Baker. Maybe we'll trade some guys, where they're probably looking at 0-5. And at 0-5, I just don't know, you know, how that goes from there. It's a really tough schedule. So I have a hard time seeing that team get to 4 wins. And I also played under 9.5 for the Bengals. That's another team where I've added to. I was under 11 mentioned coming into the year. They just didn't have the profile of a team that was dominant. They were middle of the pack in yards per play on offense and defense. They really, if you go through the schedule, they beat up on some bad quarterbacks last year. And now I just don't know that Burrow's healthy and that he's going to get healthy. It's either going to require him to miss some games, which the market seems to think he's going to miss on Monday night, because that game's basically a pick'em against the Rams. That game wouldn't be a pick'em if Burrow was expected to play. So you're either going to sit him out, or you're going to play him where he's banged up and he's just going to be whatever, 60, 70% the rest of the year. Either way, that's going to be hard for them to get to 10 wins. They still have to play the Bills, the Chiefs, the 49ers, you know, the Steelers a couple times, the Ravens again, the Jags. That team's probably not winning 10 games. So I do like under 9.5 there with the Bengals.
Yeah, real quick, Arizona's next 7 weeks: home Dallas, at San Francisco, home Cincinnati, at Rams, at Seattle, home Ravens, at Cleveland. Good God. Cincinnati's next 7 weeks: home Rams this week, at Tennessee, at Arizona. Something's got to give. Maybe they tie for you. Versus Seattle at home, bye, at San Francisco, home Buffalo. So yeah, it's it does it for the Arizona thing is. I joked about it last week with you, which is it's the old Eddie Murphy conceit on that sketch where you go ahead, take the newspaper. Both of those games, right? They were crushing in both games, more so against the Giants than against Washington, and then they just handed it back to the opponent.
Such a great reference. I went back and watched that scene. Just such a funny sketch.
It's one of Eddie Murphy's greatest conceits ever. The notion of, again, I'll just refer those who are not old enough to remember the sketch. The conceit of it was Eddie Murphy would put on makeup to appear as a white person, because the conceit was he believed when no African Americans were around that white people just gave each other stuff. And so the Cardinals at the end of every game are like, here you go, take the newspaper. How much money do you want?
He's applying for the loan. He's got no credit. He's got no idea. And just take the money. Just take it.
Just take the money. How much money do you want? It's one of the greatest ones ever. All right, last NFL thing, your Survivor play this week. Are you in Survivor, by the way, or not?
Yes,
I
am in Survivor. I'm not decided. I mean, there's plenty of games.
Plenty
here. Jags, Texans, it doesn't feel great, but there are plenty of options here. So I am undecided. I'll turn it back on you. Like, if you just had, say you had one Survivor entry left, what's your pick this week?
Well, it can't, you know, again, with the Circa having the Thanksgiving corpse.
Denver? Is it Denver?
I would have to look at Jacksonville's schedule a little more, because they're way
left. Can I go back to Denver?
You know, no more Denver. Was that a joke? Yeah, yeah. I half missed it. Yeah, no more Denver. That's it. Denver, that's another one. Where if I ever picked him in Survivor again, you walk right across here and you smack me in the neck.
Deal.
You got my permission. All right, college football. Colorado, obviously, always the marquee matchup, it seems, going up against Oregon. They're three touchdown dogs at this point with no Travis Hunter. And again, Travis Hunter being out is not just one guy. It's kind of like having two players out, as everyone's been saying, one on offense and one on defense. What do you feel about that game, and then what other picks did you land on?
I'm going to end up laying it with Ohio State. I just think when Notre Dame ends up stepping up in competition, they never seem to be up to the challenge. So I will lay, I think it's still three with Ohio State. Maybe I'll just take a money line, but I do like Ohio State. Haven't played Colorado, Oregon. I'm probably looking at an Oregon team total. I just don't know that Colorado is going to be able to force many punts, many stops. So I think Oregon can pretty much name their score. And Colorado will probably get their points too, but I think Oregon's going to score a ton of points. I have no interest in the three touchdowns. The Hunter loss is obviously huge. It's interesting with Colorado because they're really trying to play up this us versus the world. Everyone hates us. But I feel like it's manufactured because people's bets aside, everyone's sort of rooting for them. It's a good story. It's good for content. It's good for clicks. It's good for views. It's sort of manufactured. It's like everybody's rooting against us. Like, I feel like 80, 90% of the media is rooting for them. I feel like it's a good story and everyone's just sort of rooting against them. It's an interesting sort of dynamic in that sense.
Yeah. If they get crushed here this week and then crushed against USC, though, the content part of it will fizzle for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. That's why it would be lovely if they could make it close. That's why the Travis Hunter injury is so tough. So just Ohio State, that's the only bet you made so far?
Yeah, so far. I'll probably add a few things, but that's just that so far.
Let's talk baseball. Huge game between the Diamondbacks and the Giants today. That will be for the tiebreaker between those two teams. The Giants, we didn't get a chance to talk about this earlier in the week. Their season got destroyed in Colorado. For those of us, again, the 2023, where all the well-conceived things go to die, if you win three out of four in Colorado, let's just say, and then you have a cushion going into the tough end of your schedule, you got a shot. But if you lose three of four, good God, you are behind the eight ball. Yet the tiebreaker is determined by this afternoon game. Full day baseball. That's a huge game. Obviously, with Houston and Texas and Seattle, not to mention Toronto and a wild card, there's huge implications. The American League, what did you land on today?
Probably my strongest bet, I think, is Toronto. I just think, it's funny to say this about the Yankees in terms of a team you need to beat, but if you're Toronto and you're playing for a wild card spot, the Yankees are a team you need to take care of business against. I know King's been pretty impressive, but Blue Jays have a better pitcher going in Gausman. He's, their best pitcher. They have a deeper lineup. It's a cheap price. I will lay like the -115, -120 or so with the Blue Jays. I just think they took care of business last night. A pretty comfortable win. I think they'll do the same today. I did play the Reds with Hunter Green going against Bailey Ober. I think that's a good pitching matchup. It's funny, not from a betting standpoint, but just Ellie De La Cruz came up like early June, and every day for a month we saw highlight after highlight. You couldn't go 24 hours without seeing a highlight. I haven't heard about him in months.
Amazing.
Is he still? It's really just I haven't seen the stats, like what the drop off is. Just it's fascinating how he's just sort of disappeared. But I do think this is a good spot here for Cincinnati. This is one where if you're chasing ground like Cincinnati is, if you need to make up ground, you can't really afford to lose two in a row this time of the season if you're in the mix with all these teams. So this is kind of one they need to get, and it's a good pitching matchup. So I did play the Reds. And under 4.5, Pirates Cubs with Justin Steele going against Keller. I think that's a good pitching matchup as well. So I'll just leave it at those three for now.
Yeah, the Twins Reds. So the Reds are in the NL wildcard. We'll get to this in the second hour because we're going to go through all the tiebreakers and all the permutations of this. But the Reds are obviously in the NL wildcard picture, though they have 74 losses now. The Twins, which we'll get to in our seedings conversation, are actually four behind the Astros in this home stretch, and they've got a really easy schedule. We'll get to that bet coming up as well. There's implications for the Twins as well in that game. The Padres, they may very well end up with a better record than the Giants in the end. The Giants are obviously, still control that, but the Padres have such an easy schedule that they are, while they're like so far on the outside, still looking in on the NL wildcard because the schedule is so easy. Like that win last night, you can even talk about this for a second. You and Todd had the Padres in some form last night. They did everything imaginable to try to lose that game and still couldn't pull it off. They end up winning. So they're kind of alive too. So some of these baseball games that you're not even thinking about are meaningful actually still have meaning.
I hate the fact that the season ends on a Sunday with all the football. It sort of rotates such between Wednesday point. And Sunday. Some years it ends on a Wednesday, like last year. Sometimes it's a Sunday. When it's Sunday and there's football going on, it just gets lost in the weeds, lost in the shuffle. So I really wish it was in the middle of the week so we could digest it, especially with all these teams in the mix, because with how close these teams are, we're going to go into the final day with a bunch of just different scenarios, different permutations. It's going to be hard to just consume everything. But I will say before we go, because I'm running out of time, Rangers are plus 160 to miss the playoffs. Mariners are plus 160 to make the playoffs. I think if you bet no on both those, you'll make money. I think one of them's going to miss.
And such a great point about the season ending on a Sunday, because you're right. Like, what if these multiple things come down to the last day? None of us are going to care. We're all going to be watching football. So we'll, like, have to, like, pay attention to stupid baseball. They're always making the wrong choice. Gold Boys Network plug real quick.
Gold Boys Discord and Bear Bets podcast. Check it out. Appreciate it, Gil.
And the Megapod, of course. DK Network, Dan Le Batard is next. We'll come back on VSiN on the other side.